Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today.
Yes, Sports Radio's on, talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on, from the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day, college football, we know who's number one, understand, on the phones, you know we get it done, so call in 718-664-9098, and we'll give you more, talking sports, yes we do, talking sports, it's for you, Ray and Tay, and we spit it every day, and we're talking sports. Give us a call, okay?
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is a great Sports Friday. Oof, in November. Give us a call, 718-664-9098, like always, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Just so you know, in case you're a new listener, RAEANDTAYTODAY. And, of course, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, we're everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, we got you covered. Ray, so much. Wrap up the World Series. The top 25 rankings finally came out. Hoops, football, college picks. I mean, you know, we got it. So let's get into it. Chicago Cubs, 1908, no longer. Ben Zubris, the MVP. You're happy for Chicago.
Are we talking about Ben? Ben won last year with Kansas City.
Back to back with Kansas City. But wait, wait. I want to set up
That's
the emotions,
great.
Man, because you spent some time out there. I went to visit you out there in Shiela, you know, the little B school out there. And just tell people, because we're not even Cub fans, but just living in that city for the time that you did, just what the joy, the tears, the emotions must really be, because 10 innings, 8-7, 3-1 comeback, they win 4-3, which Tay predicted, but it was amazing. And I still think they won and Madden made mistakes, but tell us what you think is going on. The parade today, we saw it. How do you feel as a kind of a Chicagoan?
You know, it's very emotional for these guys. There's generations of people, and we talked about this with Al Trotwig a little bit.
Yeah.
People just were resigned to the fact that they were the lovable losers, and they would find a way to lose, whether it's Bartman or whether it's, you know, whatever, losing in the, you know, not even making the playoffs or making the playoffs and losing early. But just Chicago had this weight, you know, this monkey on their back. And it was just such a relief. It must be such a relief for lifelong Chicago fans. I mean, we're baseball fans. We're not lifelong Chicago fans. But just
right.
to see them win one and just finally be done with this. Not only that, but they can honestly say that for the next 5 years, they're probably the favorite to win it every year. Now, it's hard. The Yankees won 4 out of 5. The San Francisco Giants won 3 out of 6. And I guess the Cardinals have won 2 in 5 years. So there are some teams that have been, you know, quasi-dynasty. So it's not impossible. But from a team that's never won anything, barely even qualified for the playoffs, hasn't been to the World Series since 1947, not only do they win it all, but now they're the favorite. They're like, you know, everybody's gunning for the Chicago Cubs. They won 103 games. No reason why they can't win 100 games.
Well, let's set the table, though, right? Because Theo, the great GM that he is, and sort of ending two dynasties, instant Hall of Famer, they've got to go to work next week for the GM meetings. And Dexter Fowler and Aroldis Chapman both will get and want a lot of money. I don't think they can keep both. I say you keep Chapman. They're going to have to find a good leadoff hitter out there. And to me, Chapman proved his weight, you know, his worth his weight in gold, right, for Maddon, who obviously he only relied on him and Montgomery. Montgomery might wind up, you know, from the Mariners, could get Dave Sims on again and talk to him about it. He might wind up going into the starting rotation. They have Hamels, who didn't even make this roster for the postseason for starting. So I don't know if you know of anybody offhand that you would think, how would they replace Dexter Fowler, who's kind of clutch and kind of important? I mean, who do you think
they're
going to have?
You know what? They won this World Series. Their infield is amazing. So
yeah.
You got Rizzo, Baez, Addie Russell, and Chris Bryant.
And
that's that's the best infield in baseball. Their outfield was nothing in particular.
And they got Montero because Ross will retire, catcher.
Yeah, Ross is going to retire, so Montero's going to be there. But in the outfield, they got nothing from Gordon Hayward. They paid him because all the cybermetric guys loved him. Jason Hayward came from Cincinnati.
Although
he
inspired them in the rain delay, and he had a clutch catch. Don't say he didn't do nothing because he got a big clutch. And he had a hit.
For $23 million a year.
I know.
He did nothing. So all the cybermetric guys were in love with Jason Hayward, and he did nothing. So this is what I'm saying. They won in spite.
But he can only get better. He's not going to play worse than he did this season. I think he's going to get better.
No, he plays defense, and he runs. And by the way, can I just say that in Game 7, this is why, for all you kids out there, details in all sports, and particularly in baseball. Think about what happened in baseball where in the top of the 10th, Kyle Schwarber, who was the man, and they got here without Schwarber. Think about it. They add Schwarber, even if they lose Fowler. I think they could get anybody in center. They could get Rajai Davis in center field. They'll be fine. But think about this. Schwarber gets the hit. They pinch run for him with Almora, and Almora steals second. And that basically opened up the floodgates. It's like Dave Roberts against Mariano in 2004. Base running causes problems. And him stealing, him not stealing second, but sorry, him advancing on a sac fly to center field was huge because then they had to walk the next guy behind him. Then Ben Zobrist had that opposite field double. So moving runners.
Let me ask you a weird question. What's so wrong with Lester? Like, people don't talk about his quirks enough. I mean, it's almost like he's such a good pitcher that they people deal with all those weird idiosyncrasies about not throwing over, not fielding stuff. He throws the glove over to first base. Like, has he been diagnosed with something? Like, what's wrong with him? No, I'm serious.
Know.
I mean, he's got issues, right? It's past quirks.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, you know, he's a cancer survivor and everything, so maybe they're like, they don't want to be too tough on the guy. I don't know. It's a good question. I have no idea.
I mean, you think it's weird, don't you? I mean, it's extremely bizarre that he can't do all these things.
It really is. And the basic thing, and you're taught this as a high school pitcher, is to throw over to first base. And especially as a lefty, you see the runner.
Cody Ross, you saw Cody Ross had to come out because he can't field bunts. Because he can't really throw to first. I mean, it's really, in some ways, if he wasn't good enough, he'd be a liability.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's just fascinating. It's fascinating. So we tip our hats to the Cubs. We'll talk about free agency in the next coming weeks and the postseason awards because all that's coming up and, you know, Hall of Fame talk. So baseball, thank you. And a 25 rating. The NBA Finals Game 7 had 18, so that tells you, you know, baseball playoffs. And I think also it's Cleveland, Chicago, and all that history helped it. But
sure.
They had some great ratings. Even a 17-minute rain delay, the ratings dipped a little. Not everybody came back, but still, overall. Did you hear? It was a 51 rating in Chicago and a 71 share. So all the televisions that were on, 71% of them were watching. That's the largest ever locally. That's insane, Ray.
That's awesome.
Crazy.
Fox is
to Chicago,
loving,
man.
Fox is loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
and I heard people trying to say things about Buck and Smoltz. They were fantastic. No, just different criticism. Nothing, you know, Smoltz was great. Buck was great. Sometimes they were like, Buck was saying, you know, too much enthusiasm when he was saying the Cubs made a great play. I'm like, what? I don't know. You know how people, they're going to criticize, you know,
yeah,
God could be announcing the game.
Yeah, old and crotchety, and now
yeah.
who knew it all?
No, I think
and
Buck is
Smoltz,
fantastic. Buck,
no, no,
yeah.
but I'm just saying, and then Smoltz is to this, and Buck is to that. Like, people just, nobody can just sit back. I guess to compliment somebody is not newsworthy. It's like, oh, they did a good job. They called a good game. It was interesting. It was exciting. They added color to the game. But nobody will say that. They're going to say the things that are negative because it gets more attention.
Totally. Totally. I got to say, I thought Smoltz was really good. I was impressed. And, you know, and I love the post-game guys. We've talked about that before. But Pete Rose and Frank and A-Rod, they're all great. So let's get to the NBA. Last night, we got a little early season treat, right? So when football is still going and college football and college basketball will start November 11th, we got some games. But, you know, the NBA, they have to sprinkle in little moments until Christmas when they kind of like take things over, right? And last night, there was a moment. And I think it was fantastic with all of the free agency with Durant leaving and Russell and the Instagram of the cupcakes and the back and forth and we're brothers and you left me because of this and I left you because of that. You saw the easiest 6-for-7, 29 points at halftime for Durant, an easy 39. When I went to sleep, it was 103-74. They win, what, like 122-96? I felt, and I want to ask you, OKC will probably play better, you know, maybe when they play him at home, but it's just clear. This team has a shot. They could go 75-7. Only the Clippers, Spurs, and Cavs on a nightly basis could challenge them. And, yeah, they'll get tired. They'll lose games. And Zaza and West are not always shot blockers and big enough, and he played good last night, Zaza. But, Ray, this team is scary good. Scary. It's scary. And I just want to ask you, do they have to make a move, or could JaVale McGee be the shot blocker? Could West and Zaza be enough? Or do they just stand pat, wait to the trade deadline, see how they're doing, and see if they can find somebody, or maybe they get lucky and get a Brook Lopez from the Nets? Or, I mean, what do you think? What's your gut feeling with this team as you look at it now at, what, 4-1 or whatever?
So they're the same as last year, except better, obviously, in terms of Kevin Durant. But Andrew Bogut is a big deal. When Andrew Bogut was in the game, and Festus Ezeli a little bit less, but when those two were in the game, there was some rim protection. And as much as these guys are really excellent on offense and really excellent perimeter defenders, there is something to be said for you get beat and you got that layer of defense behind you. So I do believe that they have to go get themselves a shot blocker. Look, can they win a championship with the current configuration? Yes. But if you want to put yourself in a better position to win, it would be nice to have one guy on the roster that can do something that nobody else can do, and that's block a shot and protect the rim. Because if you think about it, if they put their best players out there, right, it's basically Draymond Green at center, I guess.
And Iguodala at the three, yeah.
Kevin Durant at the four, Iguodala at the three, and then the Splash Brothers in the backcourt. So
yeah.
The problem is they're
which can work for a while in a game and a lot of nights.
It can work, but
yeah.
You know what?
For a while, yeah.
If you're playing Cleveland and you've got Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and LeBron James hitting the boards.
You need David West to play.
You'd like somebody a little bit bigger, a little bit beefier to protect the boards. And if you got Kyrie Irving or LeBron going to the rim, or, you know, you'd like somebody to change the shot, to make them force it and make J.R. Smith have to shoot a 20-footer to win the game. You know what I mean?
You like to trade for Bogut.
Element.
You like to trade for Bogut.
Yeah, get him to trade for Bogut back. But no, I really do think that it's
beautiful
a glaring
basketball
weakness. No,
did you
beautiful.
Feel sorry for Russell at any moment, though?
I
mean,
do.
He's so talented, and he's so alone, though.
And I told you this, too. We were texting. Yeah. He's doing too much already. It's four or five games into this. He's doing too much. It's like every night is just brutal.
Grueling.
As long
it's
as
grueling.
He's winning, but still, it's
yeah,
it's
they're 4-1.
These are not easy triple doubles. You know what I mean?
No.
Like if you're Wilt Chamberlain, you're getting easy triple doubles because you're playing with your back to the basket. Maybe people are fouling you, but Russell Westbrook is working. He's 6'3". He's getting banged around. He's grabbing those rebounds. He's going coast to coast. He's finding his teammates. He's getting to the free throw line. He's getting fouled. He's taking a beating.
Worst game in the five games, and only his second game not having a triple-double out of the five games. I think he only had like 26
right,
and 10.
Right, he still scored 20 on 15
points. Yeah, and he still
had
a double-double. So wait, before we get to a bigger question about the team from 33rd and 7th, there's only one team in the NBA undefeated. It's still the Cavs. You have the Wizards, Sixers, Mavericks, and Pelicans who have not won a game yet. And, you know, I don't have Showtime, but the Ben Simmons One and Done documentary is coming on Showtime. Some controversy about that should be interesting. And, you know, we've had some excitement from Philly, even though they haven't won with seeing Embiid playing okay or whatever. And they already made that trade with Jalen Grant, who you saw, he dunked on Durant last night or whatever. But the Wizards, the Mavericks, it's early. You know the Pelicans are injured. They're not going to do much, and we feel sorry for Anthony Davis. But teams like the Wizards and Mavericks that are thought of as, you know, potentially anywhere from 7 to 10 seeds in their conference, Mavericks have older roster, right? With Dirk, they're not going to ever trade him. But the Wizards, it's weird. Is it something where they just have to be healthy and play good and be patient, or not to panic, but is it a roster issue where it's not going to work and maybe they need to move a player, a Bradley Beal, you know, I don't know if you could trade John Wall, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird feeling. It's not a good start, and I just wonder, is it not the roster to even go 82 games with? Do you know what I mean?
You know, I'm starting to get very frustrated and lose my hope for Washington Wizards fans. I think they might need to blow it up. And I hate to say it because you love their young. They're so young. If Porter and Beal and Wall could stick together like the Golden State guys and they could get a few big men to fill in the blanks.
Yeah,
I
got Morris,
you know,
who's okay, the four.
Yeah, but and he's young too. But Marcin Gortat, you know, he's probably on the downside of his career, and they need some oomph in the front court. But you got to think this team's underachieving. I mean, they're gonna have a lot of money tied up in Beal and Wall, so they better start to deliver, you know, or else they'll be strapped with that financial burden of that backcourt and not go anywhere.
And there's already rumors of them not liking to, you know, liking each other but not liking to play with each other. I'm like, what's that about? That's weird. So let me ask you this. Threw this out there on Twitter. What we're seeing tonight, the homecoming, they're going to honor on the big screen Rose and Noah. Derek is from Chicago. You know, Noah loved playing there. And our Knicks are kind of struggling at 1-3. And I kind of threw out there, you know, what's wrong with them? Do they, you know, need to trade Melo? Do they need more shooters? Is it the defense just needs more time to gel because, you know, Noah and Rose were away and training camp for health and then lawyer issues? Do they, you know, I wonder, should, you know, Porzingis, and I said this when Al was on the show, I like him almost better as a sixth man coming off the bench. Let him and Jennings, you know, be the leaders of that second unit. You know, or should they not even do this triangle? What do you think it is? Like, can Knicks fans be patient, or are we just too slow? It doesn't look good. 1-3, but it's not a happy 1-3. Not that 1-3 should ever be happy, but I don't know. What's your thought about it? Because if they lose bad tonight, it's in Chicago, and we get scraped by Butler and Wade and Rondo and Mirotic and, you know, Gibson's dunking on Noah. Knicks fans are going to be irate tomorrow morning.
Knicks fans need to be irate because something is missing And I don't think it's a personnel issue. So I got to say, from Phil Jackson's perspective, he put a decent squad on the court. You know, mm-hmm. Rose and the additions of Rose, Noah, and Courtney Lee only upgraded the team. And I know you had feelings for some of the players that were let go, but like Langston Galloway. I know you had some feelings for
Langston. Langston was my man.
I know you had feelings for him. But you got to figure, those are positive additions to Carmelo and Porzingis. So starting five-wise and roster, now the Knicks bench is terrible. It's probably one of the, I don't know, five worst in the league. So we really have nothing coming off
the
bench.
That's why I'm saying Porzingis off the bench might be the wise move.
Maybe. And the cool thing with Porzingis off the bench is he can play a couple positions. Melo can play the three or the four. You know, we've got versatile guys. Thomas can play a couple positions. Courtney Lee, you know, maybe can play a little bit of small ball, small forward. So maybe. I mean, it's a viable. But let's say if you don't make a roster move, who do you start at the four? Right? I mean, are you starting Thomas at the four? Like, who's your four? And that's just for the sake of bringing Porzingis off the bench? But I mean,
Hernan Gomez. I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean? To me, I think even if it's Kylo Quinn or you go smaller and then you go with Thomas, I just think, to me, if I have Porzingis and Jennings come in and then let's say you can take out Rose and Noah, you could take out Lee and, you know, the other four that you start, if it's O'Quinn or whatever. You know, I want to see Porzingis play a little bit of five, not just the four. But I also, like I said to Al, he needs 5 minutes a night when Melo's resting. He needs to be on that floor, the number one option scorer, because he needs more shots. And Porzingis will naturally defer to Rose and Melo. Do you know what I mean? Because he's young and he looks up to these guys, and I understand it. But he is the one that can change us and make us become a budding – he can be the budding star. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our boy Peter Vesey retweeted the show. I like that. I hope Pete's out there listening. Shout out to Peter Vesey, friend of the show and a legend. But, you know, Ray, I'd like to hear what Vesey thinks about, this Knick team. But I just – it's just one of those things I wanted to ask you because I just – I'm getting a little edgy, you know, and I think maybe the defense just needs time, you know, it just needs time. But I really think that tonight we'll get some more answers, you know. So before we leave the NBA, let me ask you this: is there a team that you early on were having more hopes for that you're just kind of like, you know, and maybe it's Washington, but is there a team that you're just kind of like, this is not going to be their year, I'm sorry?
Well, the East is totally up for grabs, right? And there's nobody out there. I mean, the Pacers are 2-3. We both thought the Pacers would be better. The Wizards, you got to figure that they're killing me. The Dallas Mavericks. You know, Minnesota's young, so
they're struggling.
You got to figure that
they're already
struggling.
Getting in their butts.
I thought they could make the playoffs. The Blazers are 2-3, but the Dallas Mavericks are 0-4. And what's going to change, right? You know who Deron Williams is at this stage of his career. You know who Dirk Nowitzki is at this stage of his career. Wes Matthews.
I think you know what it is. It's a weird team, and they're kind of individual players. I don't know if they gel as a unit. And I like Bogut and Barnes coming over there, but I don't like Matthews and Williams, that backcourt. And a lot of times they're putting Williams at the two and letting JJ Barea. And Barea is a liability defensively. He's a nice spark plug offensively off the bench. But you're right. And let's just be honest, Dirk, as good as he is still offensively, he can't really play defense. It's hard for him to move. So the Mavericks, I think defensively, they're not a great, you know,
is
Wesley Matthews.
The problem is in that
the player
West,
he was.
Every
the West
night
is
just so tough.
Especially when the Kings and Lakers are looking better. It's not so much the Suns in Minnesota right now, but Kings and Lakers are looking like they're going to play some serious ball every night, you know, at least effort-wise. So And the Nuggets, how about the Nuggets? The playoffs ended today. Wow. I mean, it's only 2-2.
I'm telling you,
but
how about the Nuggets?
How about the Nuggets? So let's get to football, man. What happened last night? Not even what happened. The best thing for Tampa was those jerseys. But can anybody stay healthy? And can Winston and Mike Evans get some help? They went through four running backs, right? So it was your boy Doug Martin, then Charles Sims, then the next guy gets hurt, Jacquez got hurt. Now they're going to Antoine Smith. They picked up, he got hurt. I mean, they're on their fifth and sixth running back. You feel bad. It's such a brutal position. I'll say this. Mike Evans showed me that he is in that top 5 to 8. What best wide receivers? He's in that next. You know, we got to talk about him with Dez and AJ and Antonio and Julio. Mike Evans is a monster, and he goal line. He's leading the league in touchdowns. He's got, I think, 9 on the season. He had 2 last night. And then Matt Ryan is a legitimate MVP. And Dan Quinn is coaching up that young defense that he's drafted. O'Neal and Beasley and these guys are starting to come into place. And I think the Falcons are going to be, when Tevin Coleman comes back and they're healthy again and Tammy's healthy, they're going to be a legitimate, AFC South division winner, NFC South, and a team that can win this year in the playoffs. Do you feel the same way? Were you impressed with them? What are your thoughts about the Falcons?
You know what? I'm getting more and more impressed. Just like last year, I called them out for being – illegitimate this year midseason, right? And they tanked this season. Not only are they legitimate, I mean, their D still has some holes in them, but because of the, again, I go back to the neighborhood, because of the neighborhood they're in, their division is terrible. And the Saints can still score, but they're not a really, legit team. So you got to figure the Carolina Panthers dug themselves so deep of a hole that they're, going to struggle just to get back into the playoffs, competing for a wild card. So it's really their – and in Tampa, they just smashed Tampa last night. So it's really their division to run away with. They might win it by 2 or 3 games. So you got to figure at this point, they are probably – I'm trying to think, maybe the Patriots, I guess. But those two teams are – every other division is competitive, but you got to figure those two are – right now, the runaway, runaway champs. Minnesota's got a lot of question marks, even though Green Bay hasn't been playing that well. But you can't say Minnesota's running away with their division. Dallas is on top, but they're they've got.
Let's talk about it. No more North Turner. How do you think that goes for them for the rest of the season with his resignation?
Fourth offensive coordinator to leave in 9 games.
It's weird.
In this short season. I mean,
it's been
you know what? Offensive football is not easy to just change the coordinator and just come on in and try.
Well, how about Sam Bradford? You got a feel for this guy at some point. I mean, this is like his.
Well, he had Pat Shurmur as his guy in a couple of stops in Philly
and
in St. Louis. So it's not right. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's not like you or I are calling plays for him and being like, Sammy, take care of business. But their issue is the offensive line, though. Could you call some plays? For Sam?
Call some plays. Double X Y Z Jet. Give me a little something. You're right, though. You're right. It's the offensive line, and I guess it's just one of those things where in the NFL. There might only be 5 teams that have a decent to good offensive line. Cowboys, Raiders, Steelers.
You know what? I heard
else?
Your boy Louis Riddick saying something.
Oh, he's the best. We got to get Louis.
He was
show.
Very insightful. He said 2 things that I think are fundamentally, well, not only are they true, but I think they're fundamentally, irreversible, at least in the short run, is that.
Oh, the new practice.
Well, the athletes on the defensive side of the football are just unbelievable. And these guys are not playing offensive tackle, right? Michael Orr, we watched a movie, he was a basketball player, he was this, he was that. But ultimately, your best player, especially if he's a big man, if he's a big fella, he's not playing offensive tackle. He's playing defensive line. because that's where the money is, the glory. Even though the left tackles were getting a lot of money for a while, and you had Jokel and you had Lane Johnson, you had all these guys getting drafted, you know, top five. Some of them have fizzled though. Number one is that these guys are just not as talented and not as physically gifted on the offensive side of the football, which means that they need practice time. They need repetitions. They need to work as a team. They need to work out.
Prevent it.
And with the collective bargaining agreement the way it is, they're not getting enough snaps. They're not getting enough reps. They're not getting enough.
So then, how come more OCs, Ray, don't do what Brady does? Get rid of it quicker. You know, Breeze does it.
You know
Philip
what?
Rivers
you know
holds
why?
On to it too long.
It's hard.
But Cam Newton's getting killed. The Panthers' offense needs to change.
It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. If you are a 50 or 60-year-old man and you have an offensive philosophy that was, first of all, the game is changing, is more speed on the outside, it's more wide open, but you have fundamentals that you believe in that you've coached for 20, 30 years, and now people are telling you, well, get rid of the football quickly. Go to your, you know, second and third. Go to your hot receivers faster. Go up the middle. Play two tight ends. You're like, wait a minute. I never subscribed to any of this in the first place. So I don't know. Maybe it takes a new breed of offensive coordinator. And maybe, everybody's joking. But maybe these college guys are going to have to get a shot in the pros and maybe change things around, especially on offense, because these offensive linemen are getting killed. These defensive linemen are so much better than they are, and they're able
to. And that's with all the rules favoring the offense, right? That's the irony of it, right?
It favors
the
offense at the skill position, but not
right,
so
but
much
I'm saying
in the
game
trenches.
Of safety now. I'm just saying in general, though, it's ironic with the game of safety favoring the offense so much, yet the defense, see, not that they have an advantage more than ever, but they seem to be athletically so far ahead of the offense in terms of what's getting done more in the trenches. It's definitely, it's fascinating. We'll see what happens, man. So, listen, we got some guys. We'll get to these picks. We got some big Spencer Ware is out. We don't know about McCoy. Delanie Walker got hurt in practice, so he's a game-time decision. You know, there's six
Looks
teams
like
on a bye.
This from last night was out. Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, for all you fantasy guys out there, six guys,
brutal.
And there are some important teams on bye. This important meaning, popular teams.
Fantasy. Yeah.
Fantasy-wise, right? I mean, just check this out. You got Chicago on bye. You got Cincinnati on bye. So that's for your receiving guy. You've got Houston on bye. You've got Arizona on bye. So that means Jordan Reed, Washington's on bye.
Washington
New England's
Patriot.
On bye. So you've
brutal.
Got Julian Edelman, and you've got Jordan Reed, and you've got DeAndre Hopkins, and you've got Gronk, and you've got A.J. Green, and you've got Alshon Jeffries. You've got Larry Fitzgerald. You've got the Brown brothers.
David Johnson
in Arizona.
It's a lot.
You got man, wow.
It's a lot. And if God forbid somebody's either injured or questionable, and you're like, I don't know if they're gonna play. And you're like, oh my God, you gotta pick up somebody just in case Sunday morning they're like, oh, they're out. You're like, what? I don't have a player to play. So, all right, let's get to some picks. Let's start with, we already know your Cowboys are going to smack up the Browns. They're saying that Romo, though, might be activated, not this week, but maybe the Steeler game, as the second quarterback. So that's something to look into.
I got a call from Tony Rome.
Let's start in Minnesota without their OC. The Vikings are, 6.5-point favorite over the Lions. Maybe it's dropped to 6, but Ray, that's pretty high for my blood. I don't even know if the Vikings can win this game. No McKinnon, tons of injuries. I don't know if Sam Bradford will be fine with the OC change. I know he's been with your boy Shermer, but I just like the Lions' energy and what they've been doing. And I think just because of the home field and the crowd, I'll take the Vikings to win, but the Lions will definitely cover, and I'll take the Vikings 24-23. Diggs is their only offensive, generator. He's their Yoda right now. He's their Jedi. He'll be the fantasy stud and the difference maker. Vikings win a close one, 24-23.
The Vikings take me out with the fader. You know what? the Vikings are soft. Their offensive line is soft. I'm not sure where they're getting offense from. And if Detroit can put up some points, now this is still
Vegas defense is still good.
Senior.
Yeah.
Respect. Marvin Jones, senior.
My fault.
Detroit Lions win the game. They go in there and they take care of business, give Washington three straight noogies in the head. So I'm taking upset special of the week. My first game, Detroit Lions, because Washington.
Detroit basketball.
Minnesota can't score enough if the Lions get rolling. So I'm going to say Matt Stafford with 350 yards and a couple of touchdowns to Marvin Jones, Sr.
I feel like when you say it, like it should be Marvin Jones the third. Oh, man, I like Marvin Jones Sr. too, man. He's wish I had him on my fantasy team. So, okay, next game. Another thing we got to mention. We're not going to pick this game, but, Ray, Nick Foles is starting. And I got a prediction. Just like Kaepernick, Nick Foles is not going to give back this job to Alex Smith. Because he's going to get the ball down the field to Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce and this offense with Charkandrick Webb and not Spencer Ware.
Nick Foles that couldn't start in St. Louis?
They're going to beat Jacksonville like 31-20 or 31-21. It's going to be some, Blake Bortles always gets the yards. But I think Nick Foles is going to light it up. And they're going to really have a debate, a national barbecue debate in Kansas City if Foles should take over for Alex Smith. Alex doesn't make them explosive. You've got Maclin and Kelce, and he doesn't get them to rock. Huge weapons that can go down the field. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about this AFC rivalry game. Jets at Dolphins. Dolphins favored by 3.5. I'm going to let you stab at this one first. What you got?
Oh, my heart says...
You sound stressed.
I'm stressed about this one, man. I'm stressed about Ajayi.
Is he going to go to 200?
Jarvis Landry. If the Jets can stop the run, nah, I can't drop 200s on the big fellas the Jets are putting out there.
Don't drop 200 on the Jets.
No, you can't do that.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to go with my heart a little bit, and I'm going to say the Jets travel to Miami and win the game. I'll say it comes down to Ryan Fitzpatrick and how many interceptions he does or does not throw. Because if the Jets don't give the game away, I believe the Jets have the ability in Nunwa and Matt Forte to matriculate the ball down the field, and I think they can stop Miami. I think Miami will get frustrated, and maybe Ryan Tannehill will throw some interceptions because he'll be trying to force the ball a little bit to Jarvis Landry.
Trying to draw to Kenny Stills and Landry.
Kenny Stills, yeah. So I like the Jets. In a close game, but I'll say the Jets 23-20.
You know, I totally agree with you, man. I think the Jets – Fitzpatrick, they'll probably triple-team Marshall, and Quincy should have a huge game. But I think it's time that they kind of, smell themselves and show that, they actually do have some talent. They're not as bad as they've looked and just the different issues. And I think Bilal Powell gets in the end zone. And I think Q has about 60 for 75 yards and a touchdown. So I got the Jets. They'll cover that spread, and they're going to win, I'll say 26-24 over Dolphins. Now to the NFC East rivalry game. We got the Eagles at the New York Football Giants. Giants favored by 2.5. Look, the Eagles normally play pretty decent in MetLife or the Meadowlands, but there's no Herman Edwards. There's no DeSean Jackson. There's no more miracles. And I think young Carson Wentz could have a good game, but they just lost Huff, right? After all the whatever, him getting arrested and the pistol, I don't know what kind of guns, but pellet, but I don't know, whatever was going on with that. But that kid was talented. So they have less talent. Doriel Green, Beckham, and Matthews, and Aguilar, and other Matthews. It's not enough. And I think the Giants can outscore them. So I think Wentz does good, but the Giants, they get Jennings going a little bit of Beckham. Maybe we'll see some Shepard going. And I'll say Eli doesn't throw an INT, and the Giants win, how about 27-23? Go Giants, go.
I'm going to take the other side. I'll say the Philadelphia Eagles defense has actually been, for the most part, in their seven games, pretty darn good. And I think they're holding teams to under 17 a game. The Giants are little Mr. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When they're on, they look good, but they can easily be shut down, a little too easily for my liking. Now, the running game's picking up a little bit, but you know what? I still think they're about a week or two away from hitting full stride. So I actually like the Iggies in this game. I think the Iggies find a way. Maybe Zach Ertz wakes up, recalls that he's actually a pretty decent player. But in the meantime, you know, they're piecing it together with Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar. They're not quite, you know, the primetime studs. But between Darren Sproles, the special teams, Ryan Matthews, and a pretty decent Carson Wentz, I think they do just enough and the defense holds on, and they win, I'll say, 24-23. Very close game.
Well, the only reason why I want to pick this game is because it's my Steelers. But it's also Big Ben, and it's a rivalry game, and we love those. AFC North, Steelers at Ravens, half a point. It looks like Big Ben's going to go. I think they would win even if Landry goes. I don't like this Ravens team, but I'll say Steve Smith is back and you got to watch out for old man strength. But I think both these teams are coming off of bad losing streaks, and I think you'll get some. It's always a tough game with these guys, right? And so I think Ben at the end of the day, he'll start to get it going. And I think Bell and Brown and just the speed on the outside. And my man Cameron Hayward is back. And that's the difference to getting to Flacco. So I think the Steelers will win a little bit of a back-and-forth battle. I say 23-16. And Antonio gets to the end zone because Ben will get him there.
I think it's going to be more extreme than that. Baltimore is really not that good. They're 3-4, but to me, the Steelers at 4-3, they're disappointing, but I think they bounce back. I think off the bye week, they stretch, they flex. Le'Veon Bell has another week to get healthy, get ready, get mentally back to where he was last year. Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, they're still humming. That week off may have helped Ben get a little healthy. Joe Flacco's moving the ball. So 20-20, he's doing great. But they have trouble in the red zone. They don't know how to punch it in. Terrence West is not the answer. Mike Wallace is not the answer. Dennis Pitta. I mean, they really lack that red zone firepower that you need. You need to score touchdowns, especially against Pittsburgh. So I have a feeling that Baltimore is going to score a little bit, but they'll score field goals, and Pittsburgh is going to score touchdowns. So I actually have the Steelers winning 30-16, taking care of these Ravens in Baltimore.
Ouch. I like that. Well, I think we both think the Panthers will probably take care of the Rams, so we could skip to maybe a high-scoring affair of legendary teams where we'll see Johnny Unitas against Bart Starr. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Andrew Luck against Aaron Rodgers. Ray, 6.5 points is a lot for the Packers. Randall Cobb might not play. I do think the defense will get to Andrew Luck, and maybe he'll throw some INTs and get sacked, so maybe Packers defense is a good fantasy play because Luck will get those yards. But I think the Packers win, but they don't cover that spread. So I think this will be a shootout. So I'm going to say like 30-27 Packers beat the Colts, and I think this is Jordy's day. Jordy, 2 touchdowns, 8 catches, 95 yards.
What about Devontae?
Devontae do good because I think Montgomery and Cobb might not play. So, you know, Devontae going to do his thing.
So,
T.Y.'s back. T.Y. should be back. And
all right. Well, these
and Moncrief.
Colts can put up points, but they also
yeah.
give up points. The Packers are better on defense than the Colts, and I think that they'll be able to have enough of a, you know, a stop here, a stop there, where the Packers' offense, you know, this is going to be the first time that the Packers are going to have to score to win.
So they'll be
they
tested.
Need,
no excuses. They got to do it.
They'll be tested. They got to come out slinging. And in a way, losing his running game may, in a backdoor kind of way, help the Packers get back on track because it forces them to get that short, quick West Coast offense, quick slant, three-step drop, get it out of Aaron's hand, and that will help get them rolling. And then when they get their running game back, when Starks and Lacey and everybody gets healthy, then towards the end of the season, they'll be looking better. So in some ways, they're forced to score. I think they will score, but just barely. And like you, I think they'll barely beat. And I'll say 28-27 Packers.
I like that. I definitely like that.
I'll go with Rodgers. 4 touchdowns to 4 different receivers.
Well, I like a couple of these other games, but let's just get to Sunday night so we can wrap up college in our segment. We got the Broncos going to the Raiders. This is for supremacy of the AFC West. The
now,
high-flying
about
offense.
Would you have predicted that in week 9 that 6-2 Denver would be playing 6-2 Oakland? We both thought Oakland would
both
be good, but
good.
Not 6-2.
Yeah, maybe
after
both
week,
five and three. Maybe I would have said 5-3. Denver plays 5-3. Oakland. How about that? If I'm being honest, but I'll say this: this is Sunday night. Get your popcorn ready. Must see TV for fantasy folks, though. I'll tell you this: I don't think I'm starting Derek Carr. Fantasy quarterbacks, even Matt Ryan, was a dud against the Broncos. Quarterbacks, fantasy, don't do good against the Broncos. That defense and secondary, even though the Raiders have a top 3 or 4 offensive line with this pass rush and Ware's back with Miller, but the secondary as well, I just wouldn't do it. Now, maybe you take a risk on Simeon because the Raiders' defense is not so great and maybe he has a better game. I don't know, but I just would say stay away. I'm going to say this, though. This is a little bit of a shocker. I'm going to say that the Oakland Raiders get it done anyway. And even though they're a better road team, I think they're ready. They're young and they're ready. They've been listening to Keith Sweat. They're hyped up for this game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I think they find a way to win a difficult, difficult game where maybe if Seth Roberts gets into the end zone and wins it and they try to lock down Crabtree and Cooper, and maybe it's, you know, Murray who gets a screen pass and breaks it. But I think the Raiders find a way to win a close, close game. And I say, spreads are just a half a point, right? Broncos favored. But I say the Raiders win 21-20. Last couple-minute touchdown drive, and they get into the end zone and come back and win. 21-20, Raiders beat the Broncos for AFC supremacy.
Well, look, there's a couple things going for the Raiders in this game. Number one, the Broncos' offense is just not explosive. So Trevor Siemian is not running the Broncos up and down the field. He's scoring when he needs to, and he's finding Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, my God, Emmanuel Devontae this week.
Yeah, so Devontae Booker is probably the key because Denver needs some explosiveness. And in order to do that, they need to contain those linebackers in the middle with the running game so they can open it up for Thomas and Sanders on the outside. The Oakland Raiders committed 23 penalties last game and still won. So it leads me to believe that this team is undisciplined. This team is not ready. Now, you know Denver's not going to beat themselves. So you actually have to play a pretty decent game to beat Denver. You know it'll be relatively low scoring because Denver is a you know, an excellent defensive team. They're not that explosive on offense, so it'll be a close game. But I don't think Oakland's ready. I don't think Oakland's ready to be 7-2 in first place by themselves in the AFC West. So I think the Denver Broncos are going to show them who's the big kid on the block. Yeah, man. And the Denver Broncos win 22-16.
Big kids don't play?
No, man.
Okay. Let's get to college football, man. They decided to do the rankings on Tuesday like they always do. It's official. We got 5 more weeks of it. Real quick, the controversy, we'll roll through it. Alabama, Clemson, then Michigan, then Texas A&M. Washington, who you and I thought would be probably 4th, is 5th. Ohio State, 6th. Louisville 7, Wisconsin 8, Auburn 9, Nebraska 10. Then you get into the Floridas and the Penn States, LSU, Oklahoma is the first Big 12 team, and Colorado Pac-12 at 15. The two games we got this weekend, one at number 13, Bama at LSU. Ray, I think Fournette will get more carries than last time. I think he's got something to prove. He's averaging, 8.1 yards per attempt, per carry. I just don't think that happens. This defense is one of Saban's best. We say that every year, but it just might be his actual best. Speed, strength, offensive line, I think he's got a nice quarterback. Eling will be able to open up things a little bit on the outside for LSU, the quarterback, but it's too much posse. But their defense is good, so Bama's not going to blow them out. I say Bama, at halftime, it's going to be 10-10 or 13-10. 24-13, Alabama beats LSU. And your boy, Leonard Fournette, about 60, 70 yards. He does not get 100. That's what I got.
All right, well, he's going to split time. I don't think Leonard Fournette's going to get 25, 30 carries, but he's certainly going to get more than he did last year. What was it, 13, 15 carries for 31 yards last year?
Yeah.
Definitely got shut down.
Yeah,
and by the way,
brutal.
Remember that Hurts, you're bringing him in to Baton Rouge at night.
Valley. Yes.
That's not easy. That is not easy. By the way, did you know that Carl Malone's son plays for LSU?
No.
Lineman for LSU. Yeah, the mailman's son.
I love it. I know his daughter plays in the WNBA. Wow. Hey, that's super spur, man. You would figure some of these guys from the 80s, their kids should be, sparkling up. We're going to see Shaq's kids soon. So
especially a big dude like Carl Malone. It doesn't surprise you that his son is playing football. His offensive lineman.
I love it. Yeah.
But I just think the Tide are too much. LSU, if they win this, could really salvage their season. Ed Orgeron could use a little boost for the team, the franchise.
Huge.
But I just think Alabama's too tough. I don't think Alabama's going to really get contested until maybe the SEC championship or the first round of that 14
playoff.
I like Alabama. I mean, I think it'll be a close game. I think Leonard Fournette will do better than last time, but not as well as he's been doing recently. Not 8 yards a carry, not against this pro defense. So I like Alabama in a pretty close game. I'll say 20, low scoring, 20-16.
Number 6 hosts number 10, Nebraska, and that's the Buckeyes against the Cornhuskers. Now, Nebraska, we've questioned them. They only have one loss, 7-1. I'm surprised they're number 10, though. I just don't think they've played a tough enough schedule. But they're there. I think Ohio State is going to be in a little bit of a slugfest, but their dreams are still alive for something great, and I think they're not going to mess around like they did against Wisconsin and some of these other games that were close. And I think they pull away and put it on Nebraska. I think Barrett, spreads it out. He does his Chris Paul point guard thing. And I think Armstrong from Nebraska tries to keep it close because he's special. The kid is kind of special. But I think Weber, and I still go back to that Ohio State secondary, they will take one and they'll pick one off. And I think Ohio State at the end of the day, I'll say 28-20. could be 28-17, but I'll say 28-20. They beat Nebraska.
I think Nebraska's an overrated 7-1. Ohio State is coming back to Columbus with a little chip on their shoulder. They They lost to Penn State and actually squeaked out a win against Northwestern. So they're really
they're struggling.
Getting it.
They're not looking
They're
good.
Struggling, but I'm sure they're getting it from Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is giving them the business.
The business.
And I don't know what it meant in terms of, you know, 2-a-days, 3-a-days, or maybe 4-a-days. But, no, NCAA rules will prohibit you from doing that. But I think they're going to take care of business. I think they're actually going to win pretty easily. I think they go old school Ohio State and put a beat down on the Cornhuskers. So I'm going to say Ohio State 33, Nebraska 20.
Mm. Okay, one upset special before we close with our segment. I think Penn State is going down. I'm not a big Iowa fan, but I think that the Iowa – now, you know, I wish I could say Maryland would upset Michigan, but that's not happening. But I think Iowa finds a way, and they take care of Penn State, who I think they're going to be still too drunk off of that win. And think and smell themselves with their ranking, right? It was 8 spots higher than what the AP had them, right? It was a crazy high ranking. They're like, oh, going crazy. Everybody's like, oh, Penn State, we're going to go to a big-time bowl. No. Iowa wins 23-21, end of the game field goal. The Hawkeyes, Iowa Hawkeyes, they take care and upset Penn State. That's my upset pick.
Really? Okay.
You got one for me? You like Arkansas upset in Florida? I like that one, too.
I'm going to go out on a good limb. Game. I'm going to go even bigger.
You're on a big limb. Uh-oh.
I'm going big.
Tell me.
You know, you got to go big or go home.
Oh, go home. That's right.
I'm going big. And here's my big-time upset. 3-5, Mississippi State.
I knew it.
Beats the number 4 Texas Aggie. How about them Aggie?
Oh, Aggie, really?
They're going to recall how last 2 years they've been really good. And granted, they haven't played so well. Their defense, which was a stalwart defense for the last 2-3 years, is actually terrible. They're giving up 30 a game. And Texas A&M can score. Texas A&M almost putting up 500 yards a game. But I'm going to say Mississippi State at home. They're able to run the ball, time of possession. They shorten the game. They frustrate A&M. And now I know you love your boy Knight, the transfer from Oklahoma, Trevor Knight.
Travis.
I think they pick him off a couple times. Trevor, yeah, they pick him off a couple times. And they win at home. Close game, 23-21. Mississippi State takes down number 4, throws the whole playoff up in arms.
I love it. So, real quick, we were thinking about something fun, and we're talking about, you know, who's your favorite? Everybody likes to talk about their favorite. Oh, my favorite moment, my favorite player, my favorite team, my favorite this. And, you know, whether it's new or it's old in history, we just figured we would kind of find out who our favorites are, different things, just random. So, Ray, I want to ask you right now, Cubs just won the World Series. Who is your favorite Chicago Cub player? And I'm not talking old school. I'm talking about on the championship team. Who is your favorite guy, man?
You know, my favorite guy is Javier Baez. I love this guy. He's 20 years old. He's awesome. He's going to be the next. Now, he had some ups and downs in the playoffs. He committed 3 errors, and he's about as good a fielding second baseman as I've seen in a long time. Maybe he's a little jittery, a little nerves. He can hit. He can run. He's really the 5-tool athlete. I mean, he's going to be he doesn't have the power, but I'm going to say he's going to be like a Robinson Cano type, but you build a franchise around this guy. I love him. That's why they got rid of Starlin Castro and just haven't looked back. Javier Baez, that's my boy right there.
Okay.
So let me spin it on you. Let me change sports a little bit. Let me ask you, the Chicago Bulls right now are hosting the New York Knickerbockers.
Okay,
now, obviously, Michael Jordan would be an easy pick all time, but of this current Bulls team, you know, they're like a piece together team. Who's your guy on the Bulls? Who's the most important guy? Who catches your fancy?
Wow. You know, it's obvious and easy to say Butler or Wade, but I'm going to say somebody that is going to put them over the hump to make them, you know, top four, top five seed and make them dangerous in the playoffs. And it's Bobby Portis. He was the
Arkansas's favorite,
SEC Player of the Year when all those guys were there, Kentucky. Bobby Portis can play a very little bit of a big three, but mainly he's a four. He's going to come off the bench, you know, but he is going to be a scoring machine for them. And I think Bobby Portis is going to be the cat that is going to be, you know, battling for most improved. He'll start to average double figures a game, and he will be, later in the season, he'll be one of their go-to guys to help them get that front court scoring. So I think that's going to be the guy to check out. So listen, it was a great show. The tip-off is now. Enjoy the Knicks and Bulls. Great sports weekend. Ray's got the huge upset of number four, Texas A&M. I think Florida's going to go down. I think Penn State's going down. So I got some big upsets, too, from 10 and 12. And what's your big upset in NFL? The Lions, right? I like
Detroit.
That. Lions.
Detroit.
And I got Nick Foles housing your boy's job, like Kaepernick house Alex Smith's job. And now I'm not going to say the Cleveland Browns will beat your Cowboys. The Cowboys keep rolling. The Dak and Ezekiel trade keeps rolling. They keep rolling, Ray. They keep rolling. So I think it's going to be a fun NFL weekend. Enjoy it, everybody. You know, be safe out there and just have fun and enjoy some sports. Enjoy some sports. Let's go Knicks. Let's hope the Knicks get it going. And maybe the Mavericks get a win this weekend. So thanks for listening and always talking sports with us. You know, we're out.
Have a great sports weekend. See you on Monday.